This morning, our scripture reading is from Romans 15, 1-4. It's on the screen. I'll be reading from myself from the New Living Version. In the prior chapter, Paul was speaking about not passing judgment on others and to make sure people didn't put a stumbling block or an obstacle in the way of a brother or sister that would cause them to fall. And in this chapter, it says, we may know that these things make no difference, but we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must be considerate of the doubts and fears of those who think that these things are wrong. We should please others. If we do what helps them, we will build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't please himself. As the scriptures say, those who insult you are also insulting me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Thus the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lisa. This is another interesting text, another very, very interesting part of the scripture. As we read it, we saw that it really talks about two groups of people. It talks about the weak, and it talks about the strong. As Paul's writing, it's pretty clear that he knows exactly who is who. As he's writing, it says, "Hey, you know, I'm talking to the strong about the weak, and I know who I'm talking about." He's talking to the strong ones, and I wondered when this was first received, how people felt about it. You remember that these are all letters, that Paul wrote these letters to the church, and the church would receive them, and then in a public forum would read these letters out loud to the whole assembly. And when it came to this part of what's now called chapter 15, were people squirming a bit? Were they looking at each other out of the corner of their eyes as the reader was going on? Were they thinking, "Oh yeah, she's weak. That's one of those weak ones." Or, you know, he's not as weak as he used to be, but I still wouldn't call him strong. Was there that kind of thinking going on as this was being read? I hope not, and probably I would guess not, because the passage, as Leisha said in her introduction to reading the passage, the few verses that we read are part of a bigger section in the book of Romans. And the section begins in chapter 14 and carries on all the way to about verse 22 of chapter 15. So almost two chapters, and we read from the back half of that section. And all throughout, from 14 verse 1 right through 15 verse 22, it's really talking about strength and weakness. But all the way through, it never actually identifies who are the weak and who are the strong. The passage gives an incredible amount of room for personal conclusions and for personal spiritual practices. For example, a large part of the church in Rome had a Jewish background, and that was their heritage. And many of these people, as Christians, in the church in Rome, continued to live by the practices that they had grown up with, that they understood from reading and applying the Old Testament instructions. They did not eat pork or shellfish. They did not work on the Sabbath day. They did ritual baths and wore special clothing and stuff like that. So they were Jewish Christians for sure. Others were Gentiles. They were Gentile people who had no history at all in the Jewish community, did not grow up living by the Jewish instructions, and so they didn't think that being a Christian meant that you had to give up pork barbecues. They didn't think that if they had a job that required them to work on the Sabbath, that they should quit their job. No, if I got a job, I got to work, I'm going to go do it. Not a big deal. Both of these groups within the church thought that they were strong. And they thought that the other part of the church was weaker than they were. The Jewish part of the church said, "Well, come on, can't you read the Bible? And didn't you remember that Jesus said that not one dot of an I or the cross of a T of the law of God will be taken away?" And the Gentile Christian says, "Didn't you read that we live by grace and not by law? And that we are free from the strictures of the law so that we can simply live by grace in the sight of God?" They thought that they were strong. And I get that. Nobody thinks that they are weak. A part of my task as the pastor of Bethel Church is to visit people in the congregation. And I do that as much as I can with everything else that I have to take care of. And by the way, if you're saying, "Well, you never visited me, Pastor Bruce," give me a call. If you want me to come over, I'll be there. And the same goes actually for your elders and your deacons. If you want your elder to come by, give him or her a ring, and they'll be there. But anyway, when I do these visits, and the visit is not because of a crisis or an urgent need, if the visit is more of a, "Let's talk together about how life is going, and let's discuss what faith means for you and how you live that out in your life," then almost everybody speaks from an attitude of strength. They'll say things to me like, "Pastor, I'd like to tell you how I think things should go at Bethel Church. I'd like to tell you about what I think about worship, and it should be the way that I say. I'd like to tell you about the ministry priorities of our church, because I've got a good idea about that. I want to talk about the budget, I want to talk about the building, or whatever." There's tons of things that we can talk about. But everybody has an opinion. And everybody thinks that their opinion is right. Everybody thinks that they're strong. That's normal. That's natural. I'm like that too. Most of you have opinions and think that if we were smart, we'd do exactly what you say. I think I'm strong. You think I'm strong. Some people think that I'm not as strong as I think I am. Some people think you're not either. That's just the way it goes. But we do think that we are strong people. And it's the diversity of the church that makes being part of a community like this so interesting. We're not all the same you. We're not cookie cutter Christians all thinking the same. We're not robots that are programmed to act the same, to think the same, to feel the same, to want the same. That's what makes our conversations enjoyable. It's the spice of life. The fact that we can have these debates and discussions. And it's in the dialogue that that we grow. Now, as we recognize our diversity, we know that there should be respect, common courtesy, and a commitment to love and care for each other. Well, that isn't always the case, of course. You look at the history of the church, you find it littered with the debris of fractured communions, where the clear teaching of Scripture is ignored, and where people are trampled upon. That's true in our tradition, as those of us who have been watching or participating in the activities of the church for quite some time will know. And it's true in every tradition, that so often we let our pride and our stubbornness take over, and we stop listening to each other, and we put our desires, our demands first before everybody else. We behave so often like political operatives. Harper is a monster. Trudeau is a child. Mulcair is an idiot. That's what the kind of talk that we hear, isn't it? That we don't hear respect, even as the political debate that we're living through now is going on. That so often there's unkindness. There is a better way. And that is what the Word of God, the Scriptures, are telling us. We have to heed it. Now, to those who are strong, this is our calling. Those who know that Christ died and returned to life so that He can be the Lord of both the dead and the living, as it says in chapter 14, verse 9, that is a strong person. If you are strong, if this is true of you, say, yes, I know that Jesus is Lord. That's the first major part of being a strong person. The second thing is to seek peace everywhere. The calling of God. If you are a person who truly seeks the peace of the kingdom of God, then you are a strong person. And the third thing is, if you are seeking to bless others, if you are seeking to bless everyone around you, you are a strong person. So when we were talking before about strength and weakness and who is strong and who is weak, this is what strong is. I know that Christ is Lord. I am seeking the peace, and I am seeking to bless others. And that is the very definition of a strong Christian. Now, if we've talked at Bethel about our slogan or our motto or our theme, as I was preparing this sermon, I thought, for me, this is it. Bethel Church, knowing Christ, seeking peace, and blessing everybody. That is what, if we want to be a strong fellowship, if we want to be strong individual believers, then this is what we have to do. This has to mark us. This is our calling. It requires work. It requires prayer. It requires commitment. It requires love. It requires selflessness. Scripture says that we have to think of others before ourselves, that it can't be about us all the time. It has to be about others. It has to be about the Lord. So a courageous Christian is someone who, by definition again, is Christ-like. And when we talked about these things, doesn't that sound like Christ? Well, He knew Himself to be the King. But he said, I am seeking the peace. Reconciliation. Reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with your brothers and sisters. Reconciliation with the environment. Reconciliation across the cultures. And bringing a blessing to everyone. Christ came to bless. He acted without exception in the opposite of his own self-interest. Jesus Christ, he had all glory, he had all the power, he was in heaven as part of the Godhead. And he gave all of that up so that he would be born into a poor Jewish family in Bethlehem. Jesus had every honor. I mean, the angels were falling down before him. And he gave that up so that he could be one who was despised and ridiculed, sometimes ignored, beaten and murdered, abandoned to the grave. Jesus was the person who was the very definition of purity and holiness. He's the one that with the Father and the Spirit imagined creation and breathed it into existence with all perfection. And then he took on the ugliness and the depravity of the world. And of our lives. He took all my junk. Anything that's dirty in you, he took upon himself and became the very definition of sin. He did not have to do that. It would have been better for him not to do that. That you people made your bed, you lie in it, I'm going to stay here in glory. He said, no. I am going to set aside all the benefits, all the perks of being the Son of God so that I can come down and save you. He did it to save those who were weak. And he did it selflessly. Who are the weak according to this? Well, I am. I am the weak person that needs Jesus as my Savior. I am a person who is totally lost without Jesus Christ. I am so weak that I can't save myself. I'm doomed. And so are you. You are weak without Christ. It was for us that he came. And should not we, who were weak, who have been made strong by his Spirit and through his grace, show the same love and compassion to those who are weak among us and be likewise selfless? We are called to be imitators of Christ in all of his selflessness. Our text goes on to tell us that it is God's will that we live in this way. And he wants us to live this way because a community that is committed to the gospel-shaped life, a community that is committed to loving each other and seeking the peace, is a community that will endure. Say, is there any future for the church? Is there any future for the gospel in this world that seems so poisonous against it? say, well, the Word of God says we will endure if we stay strong in the Lord. It's God's will, because a community like this, one that is filled with people who are strong, will be encouraged in their faith and in their ministries and in their lives. We will be encouraged by God if we accept the gift He has given and take on the strength that He provides. And we will be a community that has hope. Hope for the future. People look to the future and shake their heads and wonder, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the environment? What's going to happen to the Christian community? What's going to happen to our children and grandchildren? The way things are going, it seems it's going to hell in a handbasket. But we say as Christians, who are strong, that we have hope. Hope for the future. Hope for our community. Hope for our family. Hope that the glory of God will be revealed and that the beautiful name of Jesus will be lifted high. We are called to be Christians courageous. We are called to be strong in the strength that He provides. And that requires us to be imitators of Christ, selflessly seeking to know Him, to seek peace, and to be blessings. That's what the Word says. Let us hear it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do want to be strong, but so often we feel weak. We don't know if we can be as selfless as You were. We don't know if we can seek You and know You the way that we think You've revealed. We don't know if that vision of peace is one that we can hang on to. We don't know if we can be a blessing to others. But we do know that Your Spirit is poured upon the church and into us, so we ask again that Your Spirit move within us and make us strong according to what You mean by strength, so that we might be faithful and You are glorified. Hear this prayer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.